We are joined by Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, I see you were traveling over the weekend. You went to some big deal convention for, you represent over 60 craft breweries and distilleries, and you were an expert. You were brought in because you're an expert on these things. And where was that, in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it was in Pittsburgh. It was the Craft Beverage Expo. And I was part of a panel of lawyers, and we called it a legal campfire. So it was like quick, kind of like rapid fire. There was three of us, and we each took three topics and covered 5 minutes, and then took questions. And so my three topics, I covered kind of like the business, the legal and ownership structure, talked about fundraising and stuff like that. Then we talked about real estate. And then the topic everybody wants to talk about is cannabis. And, you know, talking about the way Minnesota, with our breweries being allowed to make these THC infused beverages, everybody wanted to hear about that. So it was a fun quick trip. Got to hang out at a former church converted into a brewery, so you'd sit in.
Okay,
you didn't have a
that
booth, you sit,
is what caught my eye. It is spectacular. It's a little blasphemous, but it looks great in there. I mean, where the altar was is where they have their distillery, right?
They have the tanks in there for the brewery. Yeah, so it's called Church Brew Works, and they have a history of the church on the website. The church had been decommissioned by the bishops because the population changed and whatnot. Yep. It was kind of like Northeast Minneapolis, where you have all the ethnic Catholic churches, and so a couple of them merged, and this one was basically abandoned. And so this group bought it and turned it into a brewery, and it's a really cool place.
Oh, it looked like it. Now, you probably can't answer this, but when a church pulls out of a religion pulls out of a church, is it no longer hallowed ground, or is it always hallowed ground?
I think there's a process where it's not considered hallowed ground.
Okay.
Anymore. So, yeah.
All right. Now, I want to talk, I'm going to shift gears here abruptly. But the LSU won the national title, beat Caitlin Clark in Iowa. But the display afterward, particularly by Angel Reese, who wound up being most outstanding player in the tournament, not most outstanding sportswoman, she was horrible. She waved her hand in front of Caitlin Clark and made believe she's putting a ring on her finger, like a championship ring. And then, did you see what she said afterward?
No, I didn't.
On Twitter? Oh, Jeff, you got to hear this. This is Angel Reese, who had no display of sportsmanship toward anyone from Iowa. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. I don't fit the narrative, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, as all caps. I'm from Baltimore, where you hoop outside and talk trash. If it was a boy, y'all wouldn't be saying none at all, and you went at all. Let's normalize women showing passion for the game instead of it being embarrassing. Let's figure out and understand what passion for the game is. It's not being a jerk and being unsportsmanlike. I mean, any guy would be vilified as well. And she's taken a lot of heat on social media, and she should, completely out of line with what she did.
Yeah. You know, and arguing that, well, it's the women and we know the men do it. That doesn't make it right that the men are doing all this, you know, the celebration. And
no,
the
it's wrong too.
You know, I keep thinking about that famous line from the late Bud Grant, act like you've been there. Right. The end zone celebrations, the taunting, the smack talk, it's getting old.
Yes, and you know what? I don't recall a player doing that. I mean, they've done things, I guess, guy players, but making believe they're putting a championship ring. Act like you've been there and show some class instead of a complete lack of class. But anyway, now.
Especially at the collegiate level.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even any level for that matter. But we need to talk a little bit about guns. It's the last 3 weeks in a row we've talked about guns. A couple, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, we had in Sean Derringer, the sheriff of Wright County, Rob Doerr, who's the VP of the Minnesota Gun Caucus. And you were saying that it doesn't look like the Democrats, two of the bills have already been taken off the docket, but you were saying that it doesn't appear that the Democrats have enough votes for any of these or the two remaining bills. And give your reasoning, because it's actually very interesting.
So in case anyone has not seen it, the governor did an interview on a press conference on Friday. They had Gabby Giffords in town and pushing the gun legislation. And he had this angry outburst against the Senate Republicans. And it almost looked, if you remember the episode of Office Space where Dwight Schrute gives a Mussolini speech at a sales convention, it was almost like that. He was like pounding the podium. It's like, I always feel like you're going to say blood alone moves the wheels of history, the way he was acting. And remember, his party has the majority in the state Senate, so he doesn't need Republican votes.
No.
So that suggests to me that if he's yelling at Republicans, he doesn't have the votes in his own party. He doesn't have those northern DFL senators.
Good.
And as a result, he's trying to bully some, you know, metro, one of the remaining metro Republican senators to go along with this.
Why does he think that will work?
I don't know. I don't know. He comes off a lot of times as the old fuddy-duddy grandpa, but when he doesn't get his way, he's a little brat. He's done this before.
Absolutely, he is.
Tantrums. And he can see that he's not getting his way. You know, his name is starting to get mentioned as a possible, you know, opponent of Joe Biden for president.
Oh, please.
Now he's not going to be able to deliver on this. So.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Him running for president, Tim Walz, give me a break. I don't think so. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I would read from that he doesn't, he's lost one or more of those swing votes in his own party's caucus in the Senate. And so I think that those two bills that did get through the committee, I think they're in trouble.
And that was the red flag law is one of them, right? And universal background checks is the other?
Correct.
But the universal background checks involves much more than you might think. It involves, like, I can't, you can't, we can't lend a gun to a friend even to go trap shooting because it has to be their gun in their name.
Right, right.
Ridiculous.
And as Sheriff Derringer mentioned on the show a few weeks ago, it's a big unfunded mandate on law enforcement because there's no fees attached to these background checks. So he's going to have to hire additional personnel on his budget just to process this paperwork.
And that means more property taxes for everyone in every county because the state, they pass these things. You know what the biggest problem, and I have it with both sides of the aisle. They don't think these things out. They just come up with these cockamamie ideas. And there are a lot of them, quite honestly, that they just don't put a lot of thought in. It's just, oh, you got a chance. Let's do this. Let's do this. It doesn't matter what the topic is. They're like kids in a candy store. And right now it's the Democrats who are like that. And some of these Democrats, some of them are like first-term members of the legislature who are throwing these things out there, and they think they're great ideas.
Yeah.
But they're not. Certainly, I don't believe them to be.
No. And it's just the more way the way this legislature does business with the omnibus bills, shoving everything into these big bills, and this attitude right now from the majority party that, well, in case we lose in 2 years, we're just going to ram everything through that we can, and we'll deal with it later. Well, that's not the way to.
No, it's not the way to get it done. It's not the way, absolutely not the way to do it. Now, there's another thing related to guns about a couple of 18-year-olds, they were 18 at the time, filed a lawsuit, and a judge, was it in Washington? Where was that judge located? Or was it here? It wasn't here.
No, it's Eighth Circuit, so I think the Eighth Circuit is based out of Missouri.
Okay, but the ruling
Eighth Circuit, Bob, is the federal district that covers Minnesota. Minnesota's in the eighth.
Okay.
In the eighth.
It's that they that 18-year-olds could get buy handguns. That was what it was about.
Yeah. So if you're challenging a Minnesota law, just quick primer. If you're challenging a Minnesota law based on the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, you'd file that in federal court. Minnesota has its own judicial district for federal, and then any appeals go up to the Eighth Circuit. So that's where this was in federal court.
All right. So anyway, it's possible that now 18-year-olds might be able to buy handguns. You know, I don't know if I'm crazy about that. I got a 17-year-old, and he's a shoots trap. He's, you know, knows how to handle a shotgun. He shot handguns, but still, I'm good with the 21. And I know the argument as well. They go to war at 18. Well, then you know what? Let's exempt it for people who went in the military to get it at a younger age. Anyway, Jeff, always enjoy it. Thank you so much, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Take a quick break. BS Show, be right back.